Hey, we're going to do what we can, praise the Lord, because we love this church and this work and the camp meeting. Somebody say praise the Lord for the camp meeting. Amen. And I'm looking forward. I could talk a lot here, but I know you've had your dinner, and I know what comes next. Huh? The old Sandman. Hallelujah. But you know, you just go ahead and take you a little nappy. I do it all the time. I preach to people napping all the time. Amen. But you know, really, it don't seem to hurt them none. They live just as good napping through it as they do listening to it. Amen. So some people are just more spiritual than others. Can you say amen? And but I do. I'm gonna preach something that's been on my heart a few days. And you know, really, if God don't get in it, it's just all just a exercise in futility. And so we're counting on the Lord. I do want to say a couple of things, if I can remember them. And as you go to 2 Samuel, and I got saved through the Sunday school program here. Now I want to understand. Well, you understand what? Now when my dad, I was a teenage boy, and my mom, you know, dad was backslider, and so he wasn't all that keen on going to church, and we didn't go. But when I got teenagers, there was something about my actions that made my lost dad think, well, we might as well try this. I'll let y'all think on that for a minute. So dad would go on his way to the flea market. He'd drop us off here at Sunday school. And I'd go into the class, and that's what got me, I'm telling you, because I never heard any preaching. Because we just come on Sunday morning once in a while. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you right now, if you think, where's Sunday school teachers at? Raise your hand. If you're teaching the teenage boys, who's teaching the teenage boys? Amen. You and Billy. I'm telling you what. Isn't that great? And I want to tell you, if you ever, you probably never get discouraged. But if you do, I remember after I got saved, and I'm going to read and preach about 30 minutes or less, okay? But I remember after I got saved, my Sunday school teacher was very, very involved and kept in touch with me, you know. That was in 1975. And so he talked to me one day, and he said, we're going to go knock on doors and visit folks. I just got saved. And I said, well, I'll do that. And so he loaded me up, and we went around knocking on doors. And we done that certain day of the week for I don't know how many weeks. Nobody responded. I got discouraged. And I said to him, brother, I don't think this is doing any good. I was always a spiritual man. And he said, why? I said, well, we've done this. We've knocked on 100 doors. He said, well, he said, I'll just tell you. I've been through that one time. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, there was a young man that I tried to get to come to church and worked on for years. He said, matter of fact, he said, I got a burden for him. He said, I'd pray for him a certain time every day. Told me what time of day. I said, really? I said, what happened? Well, he said, this way. He said, it took years. It took maybe 3 or 4 years. He said, but you know, that young man got saved. He said, it was worth the trouble. I said, really? I said, who was that young man? He said, it was you. I said, out of my way. Let me knock on another door. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He could have knocked me over. He said, that was you. Amen. I am saved today because of Sunday school program. And God using people with a burden. And I'm glad I am. I got the Holy Ghost. I got saved in November of 75, and I got the Holy Ghost in February on the 29th, leap year. Huh? Service is about over with. Brother Ralph was sick, had phlebitis, and he didn't make it to service that night. And the service went on, and I'm going to hush. I don't want to bore you. Service was about over. Brother Roger, how many remembers that night? Brother Roger, you remember that night? Yeah, Brother Randy, you weren't even born, was you? Huh? Was you born in 76? Hey, man, you're looking good for your age. I'm telling you. The Holy Ghost, it was Randy's mom. It slipped up behind me when I was over in this section of the old church and slipped up behind me. And y'all heard my testimony before. Just got one. If I can remember it, I'll keep telling it, praise God. But I remember my wife had never been, that was her second trip to church in her life. And she was down praying. Sister Thelma came off the platform. Y'all remember Sister Thelma? Sweet woman, wasn't she? She come down, put her arm around my wife, and it touched me. And I went to crying. Sister Moselle slipped in behind me. Is she here today? And slipped in here behind me, and she just, and she didn't know me from Adam. I just got in. It was just, you know, she slipped up behind me, and she said, patted me on the back. I didn't even look, see who it was. I know who it was now. But she said, listen, honey, if you lay your hands, I believe God's got a blessing for you. And I'll tell you, you know, that seemed awful simple to me. So up my hands went. And I'm telling you, 2 hours later, I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Over in there somewhere, I bought me a new white shirt because my dad, who was still a sinner, my dad, who looked at the clothes I'd been wearing to church, and he said, look, this is my sinner dad, and I never remember going to church ever. He said, oh, look, you want to get you some new clothes if you're going to go to church. So I went. My brother was running a clothing store. You remember that? So he gave me a new Van Heusen white shirt, and I ruined it in one night. I'm telling you, I crawled on my back like a big, I don't know what, up through there and ruined that shirt, getting the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't care to trash another one or two. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, y'all out there, praise the Lord. I got called to preach on the 4th of July. That year, Brother Cody Harmon was youth leader then. Can you believe that? That's how long that's been. Is he here? God bless him. Brother Cody, I love you. And so they had a bonfire out there, and the kids are all standing around it. And I was standing. Y'all heard this before, hadn't you? I was standing by Junior Birdsong. Can you believe that? You remember him? You're talking about singing. That guy was a singing machine, wasn't he? God bless his soul. Amen. He was standing by me, and I believe Brother Cody asked him to testify, and he was standing here by me. And then when he got done, he asked me to testify. And I hadn't been in that long, you know, just a few months, Brother Roger. And he asked me to testify, and I got to talking about the 4th of July, you know, and being free from sin. And I'm telling you, something fell on me that got to unctionize me. Praise God. Anybody know what unctionize means? Don't let me scare you now on an evening like this. But I'm going to tell you, I knew God had called me to preach, praise God, and anointed me to do it. That's really the essence of a call, is the anointing on you. If you ain't got it, I don't know if we're called or not, praise God. Amen. But the anointing fell. Amen. And that was 4th of July. How many knows what the, amen, August? Woo! Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm going to get to my message or not. Amen. But August rolled around. Amen. I hadn't been saved a year yet. I'd got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. I got the Holy Ghost. I'd got the call to preach. Amen. My wife had got the Holy Ghost. And then guess what happened in August the 4th? Amen. Anybody know? Amen. Somebody give me a clue. Amen. What happened? Amen. Camp meeting time. Hallelujah. Amen. You talking about a hallelujah time. I sat on the platform the first time in my life because it was so crowded I couldn't find my normal seat. Hallelujah. And I climbed up here in the choir and I shouted, I about passed out. Hallelujah. Hey, about it was camp meeting time. Never seen nothing like it. One preacher after another. One singer after another. One evangelist after another. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. Hallelujah. It was camp meeting time. This is not spiritual, but my daughter was born in that camp meeting. And I'm going to tell this on her. Bless her heart. She ought to have been here and defend herself. But she was 42 years old yesterday.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Woo. Oh, you come a little late. Too late to tell me that God isn't real. You come a little late, too late to tell me I don't feel what I feel. So many times he's blessed me and my body's been healed. You come a little late to tell me that God isn't real. Huh? I'm sold on you. I'm sold out on you. Woo, somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. All right. Brother Joseph told me when you get fired up, he said, take that mic off and get close to it. I said, what if I don't get fired up? He said, just leave your words out. Is that what you told me? Oh, stay close to it. I got you. Okay. All right. We're going to kick this camp meeting off this morning, and it went really good, didn't it, Brother Hudson? And I'm going to go to 2 Samuel. I feel like I might ought to say a few things about this, and then we'll be done. But I've known Brother Hudson for a lot of years. We've had a lot of great times. Amen. We sure have. I'm not going to tell them. Don't look worried. You look a little worried. I ain't going to tell one of them. Amen. Not today. But we have had some wonderful time. And Brother Ryan will be in. I think he was planning on being here for the 2 o'clock service until, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Are you with me? I got to preach. I'm going to just give you a little title, hit the high spots. And Brother Bob, I love you. Amen. What a great leader he is. Amen. You lead a lot. You lead a lot by what you say. You lead more by what you do. You lead most by what you are. Somebody say amen. How many knows he's a great leader? Oh, yes, he is. Still leading on. All right. Praise the Lord. You with me? 6th chapter, 1st verse, 2 Samuel. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose, and with all the people that were with him these words here, the B word there, and Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God. Did you get that? Whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth. He dwelleth between the cherubims. Are you getting this? The ark of God. That's the little box overlaid in gold with the mercy seat and the cherubims, the little engraved angelic beings facing one another, their wings forward. And God said, I dwell. That's where I dwell. That's where I dwell right there. I'm going to tell you, religion ain't much unless you find out where he's dwelling. Amen. Somebody say amen? And so the Bible said, and they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah, is that how you say that? Is that okay? And Ahio, they were the sons of Abinadab. They drave the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, harps, psalteries, timbrels, and cornets, and cymbals. Sounds like camp meeting, don't it? You're afraid to say, aren't you? I said, it sounds like camp meeting. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Wow. Boy, that's a tragedy, isn't it? Huh? Oh, I know they got the ark in later. They ever how long it was. David had an insight, and he went back and went through the formality and did it right. Amen. And they ended up, when they did get it in Jerusalem, David was shouting for the ark, danced before the Lord with all his might. And I love that, but you know, I can't help but believe somebody's visiting a grave down on the road near the threshing floor, and they probably didn't make the meeting because they're putting flowers on a grave. Because he's a casualty. Amen. And you say, boy, you sure turned this off. Well, I'm going to tell you. This is a shocking story here. And I want to preach. I'm going to title this. And then I'm going to get right into it. But I want to preach on a casualty at the commonplace. A casualty at the commonplace. Lift your hands this way and ask God to help me. Whew, help me to preach tonight. Pray for me. Thank you for standing. And I want to deal with this a little bit. You know, Uzzah was a son of Abinadab, and if you read the scriptures and you've heard this sermon preached, I've heard it preached. I've heard it preached here at 2:00 years ago. And, it looked like a noble effort, and that's what camp meeting, you know. We're going to have the cymbals and the psalteries and the harps and we're going to have the festivities. Amen. But, brother, there was a tragedy went on in this meeting. Amen. And Uzzah, is that his name? Uzzah, what killed him? Amen. And sometimes, you know, how many of us realize here this afternoon that we must put a premium on the presence of the Lord? You say amen? I said, we've got to put a premium on the presence of the Lord. And, this ark had been, can I say, out of circulation for a long time. Amen. As I looked and studied and looked it up, trying to figure out exactly how long it had been. Well, I know the Bible says this, Brother Philip. It said it had been a long time. You can say 20 years, but 20 years was really just at that one point in Scripture. And the Bible said the ark was not, what's the word, Brother Tim? It was not inquired. Is that the way it says it? They inquired not at the ark all the time of the king Saul. Oh, you listen to me? Woo, feel like preaching a little bit. Amen. It's no wonder that Saul's, reign went the way it went. Can you say amen? Because inquired not at the ark all the years of Saul and his reign. It looks like Hebrews said 42 years. I don't know, you can look at it and see, but we know the ark was missing for a long time. And in this, during this time, the ark was abiding in a person's, personal dwelling. Are you listening to me? His name was Abinadab. It stayed there in the house. Amen. Because the Philistines got more than they bargained for. Now, if you'll stay with me, I'll be done here in a little bit. Amen. But he got more. So they took it, over to Abinadab's house. And they put the ark in the house of Abinadab. They got Eleazar, the son of Abinadab. And they consecrated him, to carry
prepare for the ark. Hallelujah. Amen. And so it dwelt there all those days. There was a little boy in this house. Amen. That probably the day he was born. Amen. His first awareness. Amen. Was a little box with golden overlaid with cherubims on top. Amen. That was the ark of God. And that little boy was born probably right near. Amen. Am I doing all right? Right near where that ark was. Amen. Listen, that should have been the life to live. Are you listening to me? But brother, amen, that common, amen, place that ark was, it became common place to a man by the name of Uzzah. It was there when he was a toddler. It was there when he was a teenager. It was there when he grew up. You're not helping me preach a little bit. I don't know what day it was, amen, that ark became commonplace to him. But can I tell you, anytime it gets commonplace, amen, to us, there's a casualty coming. I wish somebody would say, amen. We've got a great camp meeting, almost 80 years, amen, and going 1 year right after another. But if we're not really careful, amen, the psalteries will be playing. Amen. I wish I was a preacher here. Amen. But it becomes a commonplace.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost out here. I gotta hurry. How many's with me so far? You ever hear the old saying, familiarity brings contempt? I was reading that to the old preachers on this. G. Campbell Morgan, you like to read him? G. Campbell Morgan said, amen, familiarity is only contempt if the people involved are contemptible. Huh? I'm going to tell you, we go to the house of God, we don't need to lose the wonder. You hear what I'm saying? There is a casualty in losing the sacredness. Amen. The Lord said to Peter, when he said, Lord, I can't eat anything common or unclean. And the Lord said, call nothing common or unclean that I have blessed. And I want to tell you, that ark, amen, was blessed of God. That's where the direction was. Amen. That's where the guidance was. That's where the power was. Are you listening to me? How can we have church without direction of the Holy Ghost? How can we have church, amen, without God leading? Leading the way. How can we have church without inquiring of the Holy Ghost? Stay with me now. Woo, pray for me now. You remember, come here, Brother Roy Dale, help me just a minute. You remember, you be Jesus. I know. Just try. I tell you, Jesus looked back at his disciples and he said, I must go to Jerusalem and I must suffer and I'll be betrayed and I must die. Are you listening to me? And Peter said, amen. The Bible said Peter took him. You're not getting this. Oh, I need to preach today. I said, you're not getting this. The Bible said Peter took him. Amen. Now that to me means he laid his hands upon him. Are you listening to me? I want to tell you something. I'm not done with you, Jesus. Hang on right there. But I want to tell you, some of y'all take pride in your seniority. But if you're putting your hands on holy things, you're in danger. Well, young man, I tell you, I've been around here before you was born, and you're an old one's all I know. I love you. Huh? Praise God. Amen. I tell you, there's an irreverence in our movement, in our church world, in America, in the culture that we live. Amen. Peter, amen, who was really a good man,
Amen. A good, decent man, follower of the Lord, called out of the Lord, but he put his hands upon the Son of God, and the Lord said, I must go to Jerusalem. Amen. And Peter said, not so, Lord. And so they had a little controversy. Amen. Jesus, the head of the church, amen, with Peter, a member of the church. Are you listening to me? And I got that. I wish I was a preacher. I tried to get him to get somebody else. I can see a dozen preachers here you could have got. But I feel like preaching. There's a casualty in the commonplace. Are you listening to me? Amen. This is the house of God. Amen. This is the way of the Lord. This is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Lord said, the Lord's word, his word, yay. Are you listening to me? We can't afford, amen, to get a casual attitude, amen, toward the presence of the Lord.
Now, here's what Jesus did. You remember? He looked back at Peter and said, get behind me. Oh, you hurt his feelings. Oh, you're judgmental. Oh, I'm telling you, and I got to say this because it's eating on me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, church members go to church, and if it's not their favorite preacher, they'll go to the mall. I'm going to tell you, when I grew up in this church, it didn't happen like that. Huh? Come on now. Oh, you ain't helping me preach, are you? Take it or leave it. Huh? Amen. It's vacation time. All right, so you're going to say, okay, oh, I got to get off on something else here. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, amen, there's an ark where God dwells, and that is only a type of the Son of God. Amen. In him is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. And we're going to step in his way between him and Calvary, between him and the truth. You know what Jesus said? Boy, I'm not doing any good. I'm not done yet. Thank you. He said, get behind me, Satan. He said, thou savorest the things of men and not the things of God. There's a casualty coming. Do you hear me? I said, there's a casualty coming. Now you stay with me. How many of you want to stay with me? You know, there's a scripture, a couple of scriptures on my mind today, and one of them is in John 7. Can somebody get it? Brother Steve, you got it? John chapter 7. I want you to read this to me. We'll be done before you know it. I hope it does you as much good as a vaccination. 7:1. Read it with your booming, anointed voice. Do it. Go ahead.
Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him.
Depart hence. Won't you leave us? Go ahead.
Go into Judea.
Uh-huh.
Thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest.
Well, read on.
There is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly.
Listen. This is his brethren talking to him. Now read.
For neither did his brethren believe in him.
You know, there's a familiarity that'll take your faith away. Are you listening to me? I'll tell you, we go down that rut of going to church and our pastor just becomes old Brother Philip. Amen. And Brother Roger up there. And we just come and go and sit in the back, and we lose that reverence, and we lose that sensitivity, and we lose that wonder. Amen. I'll tell you what will happen when trouble comes. We'll put our hands on the ark, and there'll be another grave by the way. Are you listening to me? You ain't getting this, and I'm sorry, Brother Philip, and this is all I got, but I know it's what the Lord, amen, told me to preach. We're getting ready to have camp meeting. Amen. Are you listening to me? And this is none other than the house of God. I wish somebody would say, amen, when it talked about his brethren, Brother Tim, it wasn't talking about the disciples. It was talking about his
at least four brothers that he had. He had a brother James, and he had a brother Simon, and he had a brother Judah, and he had Joseph, amen, or Joseph. He had four, amen, half-brothers. Are you listening to me? And the Bible said his brethren, amen, did not believe in him. Amen. Did you know that? Amen. Come on. What was it? Amen. They knew some skeletons in the closet. Oh, no. Here you're sitting this morning and you're familiar with all the workings of church, but you're not a believer. Why are you not a believer? Amen. Is it because church is not good and not right? That's not it. What is it? It's the familiarity. Our children get 18 and they go to this stinking world. What is it about God? Amen. What is it about this familiar presence that causes them not to believe?
Mark 6. Almost done. Casually. You come to church, he said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of you.
Right.
Sacred, holy, to be honored, full of wonder. Six, Mark, I believe it is. I believe.
And he went out from thence.
Came to his own country. Talking about Jesus.
And his disciples following.
His disciples following. Listen.
When the Sabbath day was come.
Listen.
From whence had this man these things?
Where did this man get this wisdom, this Jesus? Listen.
That even such mighty works are wrought by,
even mighty works are wrought by his name. Listen.
Is not this the carpenter?
Watch, church. I'm getting ready to show you where the crisis is. I'm showing you, amen, where, amen, the death, the grave is. Is not this the carpenter? I want to tell you, if that's all Jesus is, he's the biggest liar that ever lived. Are you listening to me? Amen. Not only did the Son of God, amen, make plows and tools and furniture, but he made the whole wide world and everything in it, praise God. Amen. How can we come to church and sit down like it's only a carpenter? I'll tell you why. You've got familiar with holy things. Hear me now. Is this not the carpenter? Preach. Read on. Is this not the son of Mary? Little girl lived down the street here. I watched her grow up all my life. Amen. This is just her boy. Amen. Listen. Read on. It's the brother of James,
Joseph,
Judah,
Simon.
Are not his sisters?
They were offended.
Jesus had sisters. He was a big brother. You don't believe this, do you? Amen. I never read where they were ever in his presence. I read of Mary Magdalene. I read of other women in his presence. I read about the woman that pressed through the crowd. I read, are you listening to me preach? Am I doing any good? Pat me right there on the back. Feel better. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. They ran in the carpenter shop. Amen. Looked at their big brother and he picked at them. And they went home laughing at mama and said, Jesus been playing with us again. He loves us. He's my big brother. Oh, you're not getting this. You don't even believe this. Amen. Oh, yeah. But you don't read where they were at the tomb. You don't read where they was at the cross. Are you listening to me? It was familiarity.
That's right. That's right.
And you can get it too. Read.
Thank you.
You know what we're going to have at this meeting? If it's status quo, if we don't correct our attitude, if we don't correct our beliefs, you know what's going to happen? We're going to see a few sick folk healed, and maybe one or two backsliders come, and we'll go off and say, well, I sure hope they were serious. And that's all that's going to happen. And they're going to call you up, Brother Philip, and they're going to say, what kind of meeting did you have? And you're going to say, well, they was a good altar. How many got saved? Well, I'm not sure. You don't love me, do you? Do you love the preacher? Raise your hand if you love the preacher. Okay, what about the rest of you? Thinking about it? I'm going to tell you something. Familiarity. As I put his hand on the ark, he didn't really. He was ignorant. It killed him. He was irreverent. It killed him. It stopped the whole revival. They put up the musical instruments and got out the pointed shovels. And they dug a grave. That's what we're going to do. If we don't, you think, well, I'd like to have a move of God at camp meeting today. I'll tell you what. Well, I'd sure like to see the Lord move. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. I'd love to see how many knows that we, Brother Roy Dell, in this service tonight need a mighty work. Come on. We're in mighty big trouble, and our people are mighty bound by the world, and we mighty have a mighty small burden for the lost. We need a mighty work. Are you not helping me? Praise God. 5 more minutes and I'm done. Amen. Listen, we need a move of God in this house. Are you listening? There's a casualty at the common place. We have his sisters with us. Amen. We have his brothers with us. Amen. And none of them believed. They weren't impressed. Amen. And they laid hands upon their Son of God, not knowing that they were being inspired by the devil. Boy, oh boy. Is this all right, Brother Philip? 5 more minutes, okay? 10 more minutes. 15, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that the Lord rose from above 500 men. He showed himself to Peter and brother. It says that he appeared to James. Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe with all my heart. And I don't know if the commentaries agree with me. I don't know if they do or not. I was afraid to look and see. Brother Bob, you've straightened me out a time or two. We won't go into that, but I appreciate every time you gently straighten me out. Now, he's not to blame for everything I say. But he met with his brother who didn't believe in him. Ooh, come on now. You know what kind of revival we need? We need a revival of folks that have got so familiar with this. Hey, man, I'll tell you what, I just don't have no confidence in preachers anymore. I want to tell you, don't come to me with that mess. Praise God. Let's get serious about this. Somebody say amen. Woo, you're sitting around. Oh, I pay my tithes. Well, big you. Hallelujah. Amen. How about offerings and alms? How about giving your life? How about throwing yourself in that plate? I wish somebody say amen. I'll tell you what, we've been too irreverent with the things of God. Amen. Just sit real still. And I will tell you, it's time. Amen. We meet the resurrected Lord. I wish somebody say amen. Brother, it made a believer out of James. He met with his own blood. Amen. Or his own half-brother. Are you listening to me? James couldn't hardly buy into it, but now he can. Amen. Come on now. And I believe it was the same James that wrote the book of James. Amen. The half-brother of the Lord. And I believe the Jude that wrote the book of Jude. Amen. That was the brother of James. Was also the half-brother of the Lord. Are you listening to me? I'm saying you don't have to stay an unbeliever. Amen. The Lord will appear to you and make a believer out of you and make you faithful to God and faithful to your brother. And faithful to church and a soul winner for the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe in this. Casualty of a commonplace. just commonplace. The ark became common to Uzzah because he had been in his household his whole life. Jesus' brethren and his sisters had been around Jesus for 30 years. Are you listening to me? I want to ask you tonight, today, this morning, whatever it is. I want to ask you about your experience. Are you about to be a casualty? We need revival. We don't have time to bury. One evangelist told me one time, and I know it is with a sense of humor. He said, well, I'm ahead. We had 5 saved and 4 backslide. I'm 1 ahead. That's not really revival, is it? Is the church with me? Wave your hand at me. Are you with me? How many's with me in this house? Amen. Stand with me all over. Stand with me. I'm about done. I think it's our responsibility to be having church whenever that backslider decides to come back. I think it's our responsibility to be having real, anointed church. Can you say amen? Can we take a chance and take one night off? Can we take one night off? Huh? We can't afford to, can we? Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and ask God to help us, sanctify us, lead us. Give us a camp meeting that's, Lord, uncommon. Uncommon. Conviction falls. Where conviction falls. Where the men of God get anointed. Where the sick are healed. Where something lasting. Something lasting is made. That'll be here next year when it rolls around. Can somebody say amen? How many believes this preacher today? It's up to you. When the Bible said the Lord could do no mighty work but heal a few sick folk here and there and do a few things, and then he moved on to another town. It was their attitude that determined the atmosphere of healing. It's up to us today, church. How many knows I'm telling you right? If I'm telling you right, raise your hand right here. Ask the Lord. Brother Philip.